Okay, 101 books, number 22. All of you, I'm sure, already heard the pastor. He called me this afternoon and he said, do you have a message prepared that you could preach on tonight? I said, well, I have some thoughts. I'll make sure I get it done by the end of the afternoon. And so that's what we're going to do. So I trust that what I have will be a blessing for you. Number 22 in the 101 book. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I felt thin's breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior. He bid me still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when all my friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never. Never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I tread the road of care, my Savior helps me carry the cross so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness and earthly joys are flown, my Savior whispers his promise never to leave me alone. No, never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died on Calvary's mountain. For me they pierced his side. For me he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he's waiting in glory upon his heavenly throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
All right.
let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good evening. We do pray for our pastor that you would help him to feel better. We pray that you would strengthen him and encourage him right now. And we pray that he would be able to be back with us on Wednesday night. We do pray for Kelly as well, as she's struggling with her breathing. Thank you that she was able to feel somewhat better today. And we pray that she would recover soon. Be with all the others who have been missing today because of sickness. We pray that you would help them to feel better as well. We pray that as we look at your word tonight, that it would be a blessing to each one of us. Guide us and direct us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go across the page to number 23. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, near far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where to follow? Follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. Okay, well, don't have many announcements. Most of you already know them all, but anyway, don't forget next Sunday night, we'll have the business meeting following the service, so I trust that we'll have a lot more people here than tonight. we definitely need at least a quorum for us to have what we need there, and Pastor does have a number of issues that he wants to go over with us, and so I trust that we'll do our best to be here that night. And then on the 5th, there's the 41st anniversary celebration. Should have a good day that day. Brother Hitchens and his wife will come and join us, so we'll have a good time. Pastor will do Sunday school as normal. And then Brother Hitchens will preach in the morning service, as well as he and his wife do some singing. So that'll be good. And yes, it's a good possibility he'll bring his dobro, so he and Jason can play together. That'll be a good time. Following the morning service, we will have our big meal downstairs. Trust there will be a good variety of good food, just like we had the last time. And then there will be plenty of places to plug in crock pots or anything like that so that we can keep the food hot. Following that, we'll have an afternoon service with Brother Hitchens speaking again. Excuse me. And then after that, we'll be done for the day. No evening service that night. So trust that we'll all be here for that. And the only other announcement I have, of course, is about we'll be going over our memory verses in every service. And normally we'd be doing that right now, but I'm actually going to be talking about that passage during my message tonight, and so I think we should just try to do it all one time. We'll go over the verses, and then we'll talk about them when we get to the message time in just a few minutes. So that's what we'll be doing tonight. For our last song, then, we're going to do number 52. 52.
Sweetly sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storms of life are past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
Okay. Psalm 19. Like I was mentioning this morning, we'll be going over our memory verses each service, and hope that'll be a blessing to you. We're going to do it this way for two reasons. One, some folks don't like to try to say the verse on their own by themselves in front of everybody. That we understand that. It's fine. Okay? So hopefully we can say it together. So that part is taken care of. And then also at the same time, going over it more times, hopefully more people will learn it. So that's why Pastor wanted to do this. Okay, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. We'll start there, and then I actually plan to go over the entire chapter tonight, so trust it'll be a blessing to you. Let's say it together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and all their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. All right, even I was trying to do it without looking, and I messed up a couple times. We'll work on it, and hopefully all of us will get better at it. Okay. Okay. Whenever I speak, I usually try to have notes to give, but since I got handed this responsibility at the last minute, I had time enough to handwrite my own copy. I will have printed copies by the next service, so if you would like one, please let me know and I will make sure you get one, okay? Now that we've done our memory part, why don't we start now in verse 5 and we'll continue reading all the way through the end of the chapter. Follow along as I read. which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All right, let's have a word of prayer then again before we go into this. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. We do wish it were under better circumstances, and we do pray for our pastor that you would heal him up and help him to feel better. We ask that this message would be a blessing to each one of us. May you direct me into what I should say. Let it be not my words, but your words, because what each of us thinks makes no difference at all. It only matters what your word teaches us. So I pray that we would each receive a blessing from all that's said and done here tonight. And we pray that you would receive the honor and glory, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verses 1 through 6, we've kind of gone over this a little bit each time I've talked about this in Sunday school, but verses 1 through 6 talk about God's creative work, okay? God's creative work, all right? And I'm just going to go right along and follow the verses and talk about what they say. The first thought under this point would be the visible heavens declare its creator. All right. Visible heavens. Obviously, we're distinguishing this from the heaven where God dwells. Okay. Obviously, none of us can see that. But we can look up in the sky and see the heavens. All right. God receives glory from his creation. And we see that from verse 1, and then I would also like us to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Let's take a moment and turn there. Colossians chapter 1. I will be coming back to Colossians chapter 1 later, so if you would like to keep a finger in that passage, you can do so. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Well, let's stop there for just a moment. Who is the word who referring to? Obviously, we have to go back to verse 13 at the end. The kingdom of his dear son. So it's talking about the Lord Jesus. Okay? All right. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, so all of creation is focused on the glory of God, and specifically the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. All right. Secondly, the firmament separated the waters on earth from the waters above the earth. All right. Obviously, as I've mentioned before, the word firmament is not used much anymore. Okay. And we need to go back to Genesis chapter 1. to talk about this briefly. Genesis chapter 1. And we will look at the second day of creation. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6. Genesis 1 verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. All right. So God created the firmament to separate the waters here on earth from the waters up in the sky. Okay. So, and obviously what was then in existence is not here now, but we still see some evidence of it from the clouds that we can still see in the sky and the water that comes from those clouds. Okay. All right. Now, look at the word handiwork noted there. That's the end of verse 1 of chapter 19 of Psalms. That word indicates the origin of all things is beyond our human capability or comprehension. In other words, when we talk about somebody's handiwork, if we don't usually use that word in that way in today's society, but if we talk about how good someone does at some particular skill, we mean that they do really well at that skill, in fact, better than anyone else does. All right. In the sports world, you talk about a particular athlete who does really well at that particular sport. And the reason everybody knows about that person is because they're so good at their sport. Well, in the same way, God's handiwork is so transcendent and so above anything that we can comprehend or understand, we know that it's above us. We can't do anything like this. What we call our creation come from things that already exist, right? We take something and make it into something else. All right, that's following the laws of thermodynamics. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, except God can circumvent those things. And that's what he did. He actually created things from nothing, except his word. All right, so that's something we can't understand. Our human minds can't grasp that kind of thing. All right, continuing on, the second thought under that first point would be all are aware of the creator's existence. All are aware of the creator's existence, okay? First thought under that would be our 24-hour time cycle points to the creator. All right. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Obviously, day and night, in this sense, is talking about a single day. All right, and we're not going to read every single one. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, every single day of creation, you'll see the evening and the morning were such and such a day. It says it every single time. And the Hebrew behind it is a normal 24-hour day. Verse 5 says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, the evening and the morning were the second day. And so forth. Verse 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. By the way, let me ask this question. Why does it say the evening and the morning were the day? Why does it say it like that? Why doesn't it say the morning and the evening were the day? Jim?
Because my understanding is that's the way the Jewish calendar is set up.
Correct. That's why. All right. The Jewish calendar, their day starts at what time? 6 p.m. Correct. When does it end?
5:59.
Okay, but I mean, in other words, it's sort of like how farmers do it in our, in reverse, but it's kind of like how farmers do it here in this side of the world. Their day starts at 6 a.m. and stops at 6 p.m. In other words, that's their working day, okay? excuse me, for the Jewish calendar, it's reverse, okay? That's why it says the evening and the morning were the day, okay? That's how they did their days. Is that backwards to us? Yes, it is. And by the way, when we read our books, we read top to bottom, left to right. They do it the exact opposite of that. They go from right to left, bottom to top. Yes, that's confusing. But that's how they do it. Okay? So that's why the scriptures tells us in Genesis chapter 1, the evening and the morning were the day. Okay? Continuing on. Second thing under the second thought here, regardless of background, God has made sure all have general revelation. All right. Verse 3 says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And what voice is that talking about? It's the voice that God has given from his creation to tell people of his existence. Okay. And we'll take just a moment to look at Romans chapter 1. Let's turn there, please. Romans chapter 1. We won't spend a lot of time on this because Pastor has already done so. But Romans chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18. All right. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice it says here, all men hold the truth. So there are no exceptions to that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So everybody knows about the creation and that there is a creator. If you choose to not accept that, and make something else up, like evolution, then there's a problem. Continuing on. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So, you'll have to excuse me. I've got sinus issues and it's making it hard for me to talk. Excuse me. Anyway, so Romans 1 tells us very clearly, and as well as this passage here in Psalm 19, every person knows about the Creator's existence. And if we sear our consciences and devise our own way of trying to determine what the origins are of every living creature, that's when things go haywire. And then you have, as we've noted from the video, you have two systems of faith. None of us were around when the origins started, okay? The only person who was there was God, all right? So, scientifically, the issue of origins it's not part of science. Okay? You have to choose to accept one faith or the other. Either God created everything, like he said, and you believe that on faith, or you try to come up with a humanistic philosophy, which they have done with evolution, to explain away how things came into existence without God. All right. Our third thought under the second part here. God declares his creative genius throughout the whole earth. Verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. All right. So the uniqueness of what God has done is available everywhere. And particularly after the flood and all the fossils that they find all over the world, they know that these creatures existed on earth at one time. They may not be here now, but they know they were around at one time. Well, obviously, the question of where they came from comes to the forefront as soon as you discover these things. And we've seen, we saw in the video where the evolutionists try to come up with some way to make to explain where it came from. And you can go back farther and farther into smaller and smaller celled creatures, but eventually you're going to come across the problem, where did the original one-celled creature come from? They don't know. They just don't know. And sometimes they're honest and admit to that, but oftentimes they try to explain it away. Okay, continuing on. I think you'll like this particular section. Verses 5, the end of verse 4 through verse 6. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. All right, so it's talking, if you just look at what the verses are saying, it's talking about the sun, okay? However, underneath it, there is a comparison and a contrast between our sun and God's sun, okay? And I want us to look at that, okay? Both are essential for life. One, physical life. The other, both physical and spiritual. All right, John 14:6, a familiar verse. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, obviously, without the physical sun, nothing could grow. There would be no food. So we could not survive without the sun. Okay, and scientists have proven that if the sun were even a few miles closer or a few miles further away, we would all die. All right? And yes, because of the flood, the sun has stronger effects on us now than before the flood. That's why there's sun cancer that people get from being exposed to the sun and things like that, which didn't happen before the flood. But there's still a lot of good things that happen as a result of the sun being there. Okay, I thought this was interesting too. The scientists have proven that there are bigger stars in the universe, and particularly in our solar system, than our sun. But yet, it's the preeminent star. And all the planets revolve around it. This is where we go back to Colossians chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be the preeminent one too. Let's look at verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. We'll read that verse again. Colossians 1 verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So just like the sun is the preeminent star, particularly from our vantage point, the Lord Jesus Christ should be the preeminent one for all of us too. Thought that was an interesting thing to look at. Okay, if we look at verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6, mostly in verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the bridegroom too. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Another familiar passage. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All right, skipping down to verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And down to verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All right, and obviously in that passage there, starting really in verse 18, down to the end of the chapter, and really into chapter 6, there are, we've noted before, those are all the responsibilities that we have amongst each other and then toward God, okay? And the one in focus that we just looked at is the duties of the husband. And just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, husbands are supposed to love their wives in the same way. And the wife is supposed to respond to the husband in the same way that the church is supposed to respond toward Christ. I realize I have my limitations in explaining what that means since I'm a single person. However, I have studied God's word and I trust that at least some of that makes sense. Okay? All right. The earth and the other planets revolve around the sun. We noted that already. Our lives should revolve around God's Son and what he has done for us. 1 John 4:19 is a familiar one. We love him because he first loved us. As Pastor has noted many times, the modern versions take out the word him. No. Ephesians 5 tells us that we obviously love ourselves. Okay? And if our minds are correct, we cherish and nourish our own bodies, okay? So we have to have that word him there because there is a capability within us because we are created in God's image to love. But we do not love God without him loving us first, all right? So that word is very important, 1 John 4:19. All right. The sun goes from one end of the heavens to the other, all right, indicating it goes everywhere, right? Guess what? God's sun is omnipresent too, all right? And there's a particular verse where the Lord Jesus says, and he's here on earth, and he says, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And by the way, the modern versions take that out too. I'll try to remember later on what that passage, where that comes from. But if you take out the words in heaven, then that takes out the fact that the Lord Jesus was in heaven and here on earth at the same time. And obviously, that takes away from the Lord Jesus and his deity if you do that. All right. Continuing on, everything is affected by the sun. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof, right? The end of verse 6. All will be affected by God's sun too. Whether in this life or before we are sent to our destruction in the next one. Philippians chapter 2 is a familiar passage, I know, but I like to look at it every time because it's such a beautiful passage about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us and what the Father has done as a result of His obedience to the Father's will. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice here three things. One, since the Lord did what He did and followed the will of God and was obedient, God has exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. So, if you hear someone else use the name of the Lord Jesus as a curse word, that should very much offend you, okay? His name is above every name. Should not be taken lightly, all right? Secondly, everyone will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much better to do it now in this life, when you have the chance, because then your eternal destiny is sealed and you're on your way to heaven. And it, by the way, it doesn't matter where those things are, in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. All right? So that includes the devil and those who work for him. The demons. Those will be forced to submit to the lordship of Christ. All right? And if you'll recall, there's the maniac of Gadara. What did the devils do when they saw Jesus? They were afraid of Jesus and said, "Are you come to torment us before the time?" And Jesus cast them out. And obviously they went into the swine and so forth, that, the rest of the story. But the demons knew what their destiny is. And so do we, if we believe what God's word says. All right? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God the Father will receive the glory as a result of it. Okay? All right. Hopefully this next section won't take too long. This isn't part of the memory part of the passage, but I thought it would be good to look at the rest of the chapter as well. Okay, the first half talks about the creative work of God. The second part talks about God's word. In other words, we have general revelation talking about God's creation, and then special revelation in talking about God's word. In addition to declaring himself as the creator through his creation, he actually wrote down his word so that we could know other things about himself. All right? And I won't be commenting a lot about these different words, but I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. The law of the Lord, all these, and we've noted this from Psalm 119 as well, they're all over the place. All these different things are the same thing, talking about God's word. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, statutes, the commandment of the Lord, all of that is all referring to the same thing, God's word. Okay? It's perfect. complete. All right? So, obviously, we have all of God's Word. We're not missing anything, and there can be nothing added to it. In fact, Revelation makes it clear that if you take away from it or add to it, you're cursed. All right? So, we have God's complete Word. Even those who appear to not be the smartest people can still become wise through God's Word, right? That's what the word simple means. Not much understanding, all right? And by the way, simple does not mean stupid, okay? That's not what that word means. Just haven't been trained yet, okay? By the way, that's a common problem with dealing with children. Children are smart. They just haven't been trained yet. So you have to train them the right way to do things, and then they'll be fine. All right? Okay. Continuing on, the statutes of the Lord are right. I thought that was interesting. A lot of people don't like to hear about absolutes. God's word is absolute. It's right. Regardless of whether you like that or not, it's still right. And by the way, that should rejoice our hearts. It says it right there. That's something to rejoice about. That we know what's right because of God's word. By the way, that's exactly what God wanted for Adam and Eve. They didn't need the knowledge of evil. They knew what was right because of the word of God. It wasn't written down yet, but they could see him and hear him every day. I thought this is interesting too. God's word does the conversion of the soul unto salvation. It doesn't come from men. We know that. All right? Converting the soul. In other words, taking our soul with its sinfulness and changing that to the righteousness of Christ. Something, again, we don't understand. And that's only partially complete. All right? Our eternal destiny is sealed, and we've been given the down payment of the Holy Spirit. But it's not complete yet, right? Or we're still being sanctified. And then eventually, when we leave this life and go to heaven, then we'll be completely delivered from sin. And we will no more have that sin nature in us that we still have right now. And that'll be such a blessing to us. God's word is sure. It's not going anywhere. No one can dispute its veracity. Veracity is not a word we use often, but that simply means it's solid. You can't challenge it. You can do so if you want to, but it's only to your own peril and destruction. It stands firm. Okay. Last thing here is from verse 14. God's word is just as holy and pure as its author. We become more aware of who God is and who we are as a result. Basically, verses 12 through 14 there, it talks about the problem of sin. And sometimes we know we've sinned, but particularly in verse 12 and 13, there are times where we sin and we don't even know it. Okay? That's why in the Old Testament there was an offering for sins of ignorance. Okay? And that we can still do that. That's why every single day we need to pray and ask God, if there's something in my life that's wrong, help me to see it and get it right. I think of the example in the beginning of Job, where Job made an offering every single day for his children. And if they did something wrong before the Lord, he wanted it taken care of, even if it was something they were not aware of. Thought that was interesting to note that. Verse 13 talks about presumptuous sins. All of us have sins. Today we often call them besetting sins. And all we mean by that is there are certain sins where it seems like we're constantly sidetracked on that particular thing, and we seem to fall into temptation into that all the time, over and over and over again. And often, within ourselves, we don't have the strength to not yield to that. And so we have to ask God every day, if it's a place that you would go, help me stay away from that place. If it's evil thoughts, help me to fill my mind with good thoughts so I'm not thinking about that thing which is evil. With a lot of us men, the temptation is there to be looking at and watching and reading things that are completely wrong before the Lord, with as far as sexual stuff, and with women too, to some extent. It's easy to fall into those kinds of sins every single day. And David prays here, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And of course, verse 14 is the solution to all of that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Our prayer to the Lord and our close relationship with him will help us stay away from these things that will get us into trouble. So I think that pretty much covers it for tonight. Any questions, comments that anybody wanted to make about what we covered? Okay. Well, we'll have a word of prayer and then we will be dismissed then. Okay. Lord, again, thank you for your word. We thank you for your provision for us. We ask that you would help us to heed your word and help us to apply it to our hearts. Thank you that in addition to your creation, which we can all see, you have also made your word available to everyone so that we can understand more and more about you every single day. We pray that your spirit would guide us and direct us. Give us safety as we travel home tonight. And we pray that each one of us would awake refreshed for what you would have us to do for tomorrow. For those who are not feeling well, as we've mentioned already, help each one to feel better and be able to get back to church soon. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.